You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
I promoted Deborah Silverman's Astrologies Immersion last week, and you guys showed up and showed out for me and us and all of our growth and evolution, and that was really fucking cool. As I was waiting to be introduced on the panel, just reading Deborah's assistant's introduction, or just hearing, I mean, her introduction of me, I started to tear up. And that's been a thing with me. My friends joke my eyes are constipated. I wish I could cry. I just think I've been through so much that I've just turned a little cold, or just whenever it's time to cry, I'm like, no, get up. We got to keep going, because if we fall, we fall. So, but I started to tear up because all these visions and memories of what it took to get to where I'm at flooded in. And it was like, what? Like, I'm being introduced as an influencer. Like, I know that's a yucky term now coined for people on the internet who put makeup on the palm of their hand in front of the camera and show you what shoes they're wearing that are $300. But it's also a very powerful role to be in, because you are influencing the thought process of people. You are influencing people's healing. And it's just powerful. And it's never something I aspired to have. It just happened because I followed my heart and I just wanted to connect with people. Quite frankly, the evolution of Lightworkers Lounge began out of sheer loneliness and pain, both from being in that loneliness, but also just a life that just doesn't look like it's supposed to be. If you guys were on the immersions where I spoke, so what Deb does is she looks at all the influencers she has on the panel. She looks at their birth chart, and then she picks out, ooh, here's your inner voice. Here's your gremlin, she calls it, that's kind of always trying to sabotage you. And then we discuss how I heal it and work past it to become this level of success that I have reached and amassed. And first of all, it would not be possible without you guys having an interest in what I have to say or resonating with this podcast, with my dorky Instagram stuff. So like, it's me, but it's also, it's you. And I know this, and I recognize this and sit with it and pray and thank every Lord under the sun here on earth for this opportunity and for you guys, because I've had nobody. And when I say that, I literally mean it. You know, some people say that being married was the loneliest time of my life. And you would think, why? You're married. You have a partner. How can that? You're always with someone. How can you be lonely? But when you're with the wrong people, and this applies to friendships, to jobs, even to family, if these aren't your people, the people you resonate with, people you can be yourself with, people you can share how you truly feel with, it's one of the loneliest places to be. And I had a little bit of both. As Deb mentioned on the panel discussion, looking at my chart, she pulled up in front of Ayel. I have what's called an eighth house stellium. Houses in a birth chart represent areas of life. Stelliums are when there's three or more planets in one house, giving you a shot of massive energy, kind of like the universe shining a flashlight on that area of life, that house saying, woo, 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 woo. This is something we got to pay attention to. This is going to be a lot of our life events are going to be surrounding this area of life. Well, kind of got the short end of the stick, let's be honest here, with the eighth house. It's the house of Scorpio. It's the house of death and rebirth. It's the house of lots of change in order for you to transform and grow. It's the house of, here, we're going to hand you some of the darkest things that the human existence can offer, and it's your job to boil and chop and stew this poison into medicine for both your own healing, but also, I will say, eighth house stellium people, these are therapists, these are psychologists, these are shamans, as Deb said on her show. They're shamans, they're healers, because they've walked through the depths of hell and transmuted it into heaven. But in the midst of that work, it's not very fun, and it's very dark, and it can be very lonely. And, you know, Deb kicked off the call asking, like, Steph, share some of the really dark things you've been through. Because, come on, someone with four planets in the eighth house, you must have been through some shit. And, you know, some of my darkest moments, I was like, yeah, if you think I'm about to share this for 13,000 people, you're wrong. It's not that I'm private about it, because you guys know I just unzip my chest and release all of my butterflies and demons to you on this podcast. And then when I'm done, I zip it back up, and I'm actually a pretty private person. I feel safe when I can write about these things. It, as I said on my Instagram, it still stings coming out of my throat. Maybe one day I'll speak about it, but I'm definitely going to write about it. Good sales pitch for my next book. Woohoo! But I've been through some dark things. And so when I get asked this question, like, man, what have you been through to get to where you're at? I kind of freeze up, because I'm like, what haven't I been through? And then I've been through so much, just ball after ball after ball, that it's like, isn't this just life? Isn't life just fucking hard? Because I don't know what joy and, like, the light side of life really feels like. I mean, I do, of course. I've got an incredible job. I've got a really awesome partner. But, like, all of these things didn't come without big eighth house transformation, loneliness, dark, devil of types of people being thrown my way to get here, to be here. And so that's why the tears started to swell up in my eyes, is because I looked at the chat box that was just blowing up with hundreds of people talking per second. And knowing, she said in total, between social media, her website, all these different things, there was like 13,000 people. And I thought, oh my God. And I think we broke Zoom on the first day. I think she said, like, we broke Zoom because so many people joined. And I like to think it was you guys that I invited, but who knows? It's probably for Deb too, because she is phenomenal at what she does. But it was just cool. And it was a moment. And I tapped back into all of the times I was so alone and isolated, and but had just a tiny centimeter-sized light in the midst of a dark hurricane that said, hold on, just keep going. And I did. You know, these moments are like grief, because the point of the panel discussion I was on was, how do I not let my gremlin take over my life? And my gremlin is always there, that mean inner voice, that inner critic. It's always there. And it's like losing a loved one, be it a pet, family member, God forbid a child. It never goes away. That darkness, you just learn that it's a part of you now. And on some days, that darkness will override the light, and just, you'll have to succumb to it and stay inside and massively pray, take a bath, hide, read a book, watch a movie, and just write it out, talk it out if you can. And other days, you don't even know it's there, and you forget about it, forget that it happened. But it's just like grief. You always learn to live with it. You accept sometimes it wins, but you also accept in those moments when you're convinced it's forever that it's not. It's just a part of you now, and you can, everything is duality. Like we have been saying, I'm just going to call this Duality's Lounge, because you have a fork in the road with your grief, with your inner critic. Do I want to choose to let it ruin this day? Or do I want to choose to cry, feel it, and say, oh man, I can't believe I've been through that. But then go out and compliment a stranger and see how good you feel. Making someone smile, adding that to their story. You always get to choose. You know, in the growth of Lightworkers Lounge, my therapist was telling me this today. She was like, it must be a weird position for you to be in, because so many people see, it's like the iceberg analogy, if you guys have ever seen that going around Instagram. You guys see the tip of my iceberg, the nice white, shiny, pointy part that's hanging up over the ocean. You're like, wow, that's beautiful. I want that. That looks nice. I'd like to be like that. but you don't see 75% of me that's underwater, that is submerged, that is fighting for her life, that is... You know, I deleted my slam poetry about my panic attack because so many people were like, yo, are you okay? Do we need to call your mama? Do we need to get you into a hospital? And I was like, man, it was really intense. And I was just pouring out. I mean, that's my eighth house stellium. I'm intense. I'm very intense. I can be very intimidating. I can be very, I know, that's just my energy. And I thought it was okay to release. I know it is. And for people listening who are like, that was me, I checked up on you, this is not a bad thing. It made me smile and actually healed a lot knowing that people care about me on that level. But I think I'm afraid to fully, of course I am. I haven't shared absolutely everything with you guys because it's scary. I don't, it's just a weird feeling to be perceived as like, oh my God, are you suicidal? Are you all right? And I'm intense. I come with the blow. I've got a really strong energy, especially when it comes to dark things like panic attacks and mental health. But, you know, some things, some battles that I've won, and maybe by sharing this, whatever you're going through and growing through, it can inspire you to keep going. But Lightworkers Lounge was started in 2014. And back then it was called Free Spirit Fun. And it was just a blog on Blogspot. And so it is now 2022. So you do the math. It took me 8 years to get to where I'm at today. A lot of people think, well, the podcast was launched in 2018. So that's not that long. That's 4 years. But that's every single day grinding. That's doing side jobs. That's having to believe in myself because everybody else was just like, yeah, cool hobby. When it was Free Spirit Fun, I think I had 25 blog readers, half of them people that knew me from high school or my mom. And I did that. I showed up and I blogged. And yo, blogs take a long time to make. You got to make pictures. You got to edit the pictures. You have to upload them to the blog in a perfect, aesthetically pleasing way. You have to tap into your emotions and write the blog. So I would work 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 from home alone and for a corporate job, a health insurance company. And then right as the clock hit, I would go for a 2-hour hike and then I would sit while my ex-husband at the time watched TV, and I would sit and I would write this blog and just spill out my emotions. And I didn't know. Again, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but I never had any intention with it, like making it a full-time job, other than I just loved it. I loved sharing my adventures, and I loved the idea that if somebody wanted to go to Key West and have this dope trip, they could read my blog and know where like the best coffee shops were. And I was just like, that's a really cool connection that people on the internet can see my favorite spots and go to these secret nature spots that I found in my travels. So I called it Free Spirit Fun, and it was mixed with life advice. One of my favorite articles was 20 Things I Learned in My Early 20s or something like that. And it's when I go back and read it, I think, wow, like it's goofy to think that a 20-year-old was trying to give you a wisdom, but I was pretty freaking good. I will toot my own horn there. I was like, dang, 26 or 27-year-old me was kind of sort of smart. It was really cool to reflect back on. So that's how it all started. And, you know, my ex-husband at the time, he wasn't supportive, but he wasn't against it. He was just kind of avoidant. Like, oh, that's her little hobby she does. Okay, I'll take some pictures for her, but like, that's it. I don't think he ever read it. I don't think he ever asked about it. How's it going? Never. It was just, oh, that's your hobby. Cool. Very Aquarius detached, but... As Lightworkers Lounge started to grow, of course, you know, JL dropped this very big quote a couple nights ago. He said, you know, with great love comes great hate, meaning like the more I grow, the more I've got to make sure my skin is thick and I'm ready to handle what comes with that. And it's very wise, very good advice from him. But it's also like, dang, yeah, you're right. I think I mentioned this to you guys on a Q&A a few episodes back where it's like, hey, some of you are like, hey, I want to be noticed. I want to be noticed for my work, for my healing, for my art. And I can understand why. Of course we all do. It's a natural human feeling. But I think sometimes that comes or it doesn't come because you're not ready. And you have something really special that the world needs. But if you're not really rooted in who you are, to be prepared for people to throw bow and arrows and tomatoes at your soul in the form of healing or art, you'll stop. You'll say, fuck this, all set. And you'll stop. And the world and the universe, God, angels, they'll be like, no, we need you here. We need you to show up, not just once. So I really do believe in divine timing. I definitely do. Ask me that with other facets of life and I might say no. But isn't that duality? I dated somebody after my divorce, and I remember working in a hotel on Lightworkers Lounge. We were traveling at the time, and I was loving it. I was having a good day, and I don't know what happened, how this came out of his mouth, but it did, and I'll never forget it. But he said, why do you waste your time doing that? These people don't give a shit about you. These people don't give a fuck about you. Why are you doing that? Why do you pour so much time into this? Like, you're working on it in the car. You're working on it in a hotel. We're on vacation, and you're here. You are working on it. And it's like, thank God I was rooted in who I am, and also in, like, this is my passion. It's truly not work if it's your passion and you love doing this. The moment it starts to feel like work, you got to take a step back and reassemble the blocks there. But, you know, a few months later, he decided that he wanted to write a book, and he was just like, and then I'm going to go on your podcast and I'm going to promote it, and your social media following will love it and they'll buy it. And I was just like, I'm 8th house stellium Scorpio. I do not forget what you said. And it's just, you know, I don't have hate for this person. I'm not angry at this person for this anymore. Very glad we're not in each other's lives at all. But it was a really interesting psychology experiment, I guess we'll call it, where I looked and I was like, people actually do this. Wow. And it was just a way that I removed myself. I was not in it. And so his words did not sting that deeply, because I've been used to treatment like this my whole life. My entire life. You know, I love my big brother. He's awesome. But when I had to move back in with my mom after my divorce, it was Christmas, and my mom got me a box of tarot cards because she knew I love this stuff, and that Lightworkers Lounge was a brand new baby just beginning, and so she was supporting it. And my brother, I don't know why he gets so triggered by it, but I think I just jokingly was like, I'm gonna pull a card for everyone. And my brother just flipped. I mean, got in my face, spitting, red face, red eyes, popping out, shaking with anger. And I had to black out. I had to disassociate, because that was some energy being thrown my way. And in between spitting in my face, like, not literally spitting, he was just speaking with such passion that, like, spit was flying. It was things like, this is fake, you're a fraud, you are frauding people, like Miss Cleo on the internet, and just being so nasty. And I was just sitting there taking it, sitting in a chair while he was standing up, holding my new box of cards. And my mom doesn't do anything. She's not good at conflict resolution. She doesn't know. So she's just sitting there as well. And finally, once he stopped and ran to his room, or just ran out of the room, a card fell out of the deck that said, needs love. And I was like, yeah, thank you. Oh my gosh. But, you know, I've had every reason to quit Lightworkers Lounge. I've had so many people tell me that it's bullshit. I've had my own father tell me in the very beginning, when I was just starting and it was so hard. I asked him for $20 for gas. He told me, go ask your mom. And I said, my mom supported me my whole life. You think you were never there. Maybe you can just throw me a bone. And he said, when you get a real job, I'll help you. Not when you're fucking around like this. Okay. So it's been a very, very painful journey. And I don't think that mine's exceptionally painful. Maybe it is more than the average person. I just don't know. I've heard so many different types of stories and I don't know what's normal anymore. But, you know, I haven't had people cheering. Really, JL is the first person that has supported me since we were just friends. I mean, he used to buy tarot card readings. Every time I released merchandise, he was the first order. He even bought thyroid first aid kit. I think he bought a few copies and handed them out to his family. I mean, just that is what true support feels like. And I always tell JL, like, man, even if we split up, like, God forbid, but if we do, like, you gifted me integrity in myself and respect for myself, because after you, I will never be friends with or romantically involved with people who treat me like people in my past have, ever again. Ever again. So the whole journey to get to where I'm at right now involved a lot of punches, a lot of rock bottoms, a lot of, oh my God, what's next? But what always keeps me coming back are the DMs from you, the emails from you, being a guest on other podcasts and hearing people say, you changed my life. I never set out to do that. I set out, I guess, to entertain and get people to travel to connect with themselves. So I guess there always has been an undercurrent of it. But I have simply just followed what felt good, while always checking myself and saying, why? Am I doing this for follows? If I don't get a lot of likes on a post, am I going to delete it? Or am I going to say, no, I love that, I'm keeping that up? I've always done it because I've enjoyed it. And I always will do this. Even if I say something or I come crashing down off my ivory tower, which I really feel like I'm not even in that ivory tower yet. I feel like I'm just getting started. But if this all goes away because the internet gets wiped out, I'm still going to do this. Lightworkers Lounge will still be a thing. I don't know how or what it'll take. I can't think of that because it'll mess things up. It's just this delicate balance that you ride the wave of. It's a frequency. There you go. Let's use some new age terminology. It's a frequency. And you'll know when you're on it. Because every minute, every moment, every hour will feel like your birthday. And you'll also know it because when people tell you, why are you doing this? It's stupid. Why are you doing this? Nobody cares. Why are you doing this? You suck at it. You'll do exactly what I did. And you'll remove yourself. Your physical shell will still be in that shitty moment. But you'll remove your emotional self and you'll look down on it and say, wow, this is interesting. Now, how did I get myself involved with such an asshole? Huh. Guess we're going to look into that. Anyways, bloop, back in the moment. Oh, you don't like my work. That's okay. I absolutely love the people I meet and what I do. It makes me feel so good. So to the left, if you want to leave, be my guest, you can step. Keep going. Keep it going. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I don't know what I'll call this one. How to Follow Your Dreams. How to ignore assholes, how to find your purpose and stick with it. I'm telling you guys, it's just a frequency. Whatever you visualize that light, awesome frequency as, you'll know it when you feel it and stick with it. It's not going to feel like that 24/7 every single day. It will not feel like your birthday, but you'll know it's the right thing because even in moments that are longer than a day, a week, month, where you feel down about it, you still come home. You still know what you're doing. So I also want to call this an appreciation post for you guys and a massive thank you for being there for me through really dark moments. Really dark moments. Wait, I was going to end this podcast, but now all these stories are flooding in. Grab your tea, sit back, relax, let's talk. You know, one time when I was trying to make it work in the Florida Keys. This is, you guys go back in the archives to 2018, like between May and August 2018. That is the sweet spot of Lightworkers Lounge. That is when I got my divorce and then I was living out of a old Subaru that I purchased. It had like 200,000 miles on it. Susie Q the Subaru. Oh, all my listeners, you guys got to go back and get to know the old me because it's a really big foundation of where we are today. But recording out of that car, I promised you guys, and at the time, I think I had like 80 listeners, which is a lot to me. I've never, like, to me, there is no difference between 8 and 8 million. I'll still feel the same way, like, holy shit, this is incredible that other people are hanging out with me on the airwaves. But back then, I was recording out of motel bathrooms with no AC and dripping water behind me. I was recording next to chickens at an Airbnb, like in a dirt patio, chickens kicking up dirt and cuckoo in the background while I'm trying to record. I've recorded some dope episodes with my mom too. You should really go find those. Those are powerful. But one time when in 2018, I don't know if I shared this on one of those episodes. I may have. I was so disassociated and just in survival back then. I can't remember. But I was so exhausted. My pug, Jeffrey, had a heat stroke, and he was so exhausted. The AC in my beat-up Subaru broke, and I'm in Key West in July. OMG. And so I called my mom, and I was like, I know I'm 29 years old, and this is not appropriate. Help me. I don't have AC, mom. And so she was like, okay, well, you know, the Florida Keys is like $400 a night at every hotel, right? I was like, there's got to be something. So she's researching and she finds a cheap old like scuba dive motel. And she's like, all right, I got you a room. Go to this motel. Please get in the air conditioning and just shower and get a good night's sleep because I've still been crying all the time. It was just a very... Oh, it was so emotional, guys. I got down to the Keys thinking I had all my ducks in a row. I had networked. I had all the synchronicities from the fucking universe. And so I was like, all right, let's do this. The dream's coming alive. It's really coming to 3D. Let's do it. I left my marriage. I knew I needed to do that. This is when the rainbows appear, right? I get down there. The job I had fell through because the company filed bankruptcy the Saturday I arrived. So I immediately was cut. The housing I had, she failed to mention there was no air conditioning. And even if there was, there was massive holes on the roof from a hurricane last summer. So iguanas were crawling in and out. I also work from home. So sitting in a 90 degree casita with a pug that can't be anywhere over 70 degrees, not going to happen. And so I literally lost everything. And that's why I was homeless in my car, because I was like, oh my God. And in the Florida Keys, you can't just rock up to another cookie cutter apartment complex because they don't exist. But my mom got me this night at that cheap dive motel. And when I went to check in at the front desk, and my eyes are so puffy. I think I had mascara down on my lips. I was a mess, sunburnt. Oh, and exhausted after sitting in front of the public library for Wi-Fi so that I could try and find work. And going into all these motels with my pug on my back, like, please help me. Nobody did. They were like, yeah, you and everybody else that wants the island life dream, get lost, sister. It's rough down there. But so I'm checking in, and this gentleman around my age is checking me in and saying, like, man, you're right. Your mom said you're not doing so well. I'm like, fucking mom. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Listen, I just got divorced a couple months ago. Like, everything is just so new. I just lost my job. I don't have anywhere to live. Like, yeah, I'm tired. And he was like, oh man, you know, I just got divorced last year too. I get it. I'm making small talk, and I'm just like, okay, dude, please give me my key. I just want a cold shower and a nap. So finally he does it, but not before asking, can I take you on a date? I'm like, oh my God, seriously. Like, I'm used to this type of treatment from men all my life. But I was like, now as I'm crying and puffy and like, seriously? He was like, come on, like, there's a bar right outside of your front door, a tiki bar. Just meet me there for conversation. That's it. I look behind me and I'm like, okay, you know what? I could use a cocktail because I'm so sad. I was like, do I have to dress up or any bullshit like that? He's like, no, literally just walk out of your room. Bring your dog too. I was like, fine, fucking fine. You know what? What's wrong with a Mai Tai and a good conversation? I mean, he got divorced. Maybe he's got some good advice. Didn't turn out so nice. I mean, this dude wanted to kiss. This dude wanted to, yeah, ew, gross. I hate sharing this stuff. It was so awkward and uncomfortable. And so after I was like, yo, I don't want to kiss you. This is not how this is supposed to go. I thought this was just a talk. I guess I'm a dumbass, but I'm also in a really vulnerable place right now. He was like cool about it, but also kind of like, what the fuck? It was a weird energy. Again, I just like disassociated from the whole situation because it was so uncomfortable. But I walked back to my room And I just thought, I locked the door and I was like, oh my God, never again. Shoved my head in the pillow. But that lasted about 30 seconds before I was like, wait, he is the manager of this nasty little motel, which means he has a master key to all the rooms and he knows exactly what room I'm staying in. And I was just like, oh man. Oh yeah. You can imagine the wild dreams my mind went to thinking, great. This is just great. But I just started crying because I was like, I need an air conditioned room. Like my first thought was, get out. You got to go. You are not staying here overnight because you won't sleep anyway. I did end up staying, and every noise I heard, I was like, oh my God. But I never heard from the guy again. And, I got the hell out of there first thing in the morning, threw all my shit. I was going to do laundry, like take advantage of those, but I was like, nope, I'm out. See you later. I can still remember the hibiscus flowers that I walked by thinking, ugh, people who have normal lives get to just enjoy the morning blooms. And here I am like, get the dog in the car, get on the road before it gets too hot. Go, go, go. You know, I created Lightworkers Lounge with no Wi-Fi, and up until March 2020, I built Lightworkers Lounge with no Wi-Fi. I had always used a hotspot on my phone, cell phone service. And so, yes, it would take 2 hours to upload a single podcast episode. And yes, I interviewed Nicole LaPera, the holistic psychologist, on a Wi-Fi hotspot. And yes, I interviewed Mark Groves from Create the Love in a treehouse in the Florida Keys on a 3-bar, 3G Wi-Fi hotspot. I'm telling you, when you have passion and you really want to do something and see it through, you find a way. That quote, where there's a will, there's a way. I promise you this. Your wildest dreams can come true if you have the will. If they're truly your dreams, you will make them work. There will be no such thing as an excuse. No such thing as procrastination. You, when that fire gets lit up inside of you, it's game over. Everything, everyone, get out of the way. That's why I was able to laugh off the people saying, nobody cares about what you do. It's stupid. Oh, and then the revenge of, wow, how am I doing now? So sweet. Yum, yum, yum. Is my Scorpio showing? Woo! Anyways, we're going to be back with another holistic, actually probably a bunch of holistic health podcasts, because you guys ate that episode up. Jael and I are going to come back with a lot of different things. He just graduated yesterday. Congrats, Jael. He is so certified as a holistic health coach. I am so proud of him. So we'll be back with a lot of really good material. And all in all, to say in this episode, thank you. Thank you for being the light that keeps my fire ablaze. Thank you for being the reason that I get to turn around and look at the people who tried to hold me back and tell me I was worthless. It's because you guys are standing next to me that I'm able to say, ha, told you. That I am able to say, look, mean people can't hold you down. Mean people cannot prevent you from finding love, finding success in whatever you want to pursue. They can't win. They won't win. That's not how the story ends. You know how the story does end? You win and you get everything you've ever wanted. Sorry, spoiler alert. Just spoiled it for you. I love you. I'll see you guys soon. Bye.